Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Phase 3 measures on the horizon. A lot of business owners and consumers, though, still wondering how the changes up ahead could affect their livelihoods and their activities. Temporary measures, the Relief Act, you may have seen that being SMS'd about. So the act has been extended. That provides further contractual relief for certain legal and enforcement action. What are the sort of contracts that are eligible for the extension of relief? Also, a notification for the relief of developers has been implemented, allowing buyers who enter into agreements to purchase commercial and industrial properties with temporary legal protection with a late payment or interest charge of 5% per annum of simple interest. So what does this mean for developers and purchasers? And separately, the Law Society of Singapore, this caught my eye because I think it's so important to always, where possible, bring up what is being done to work against the scourge of workplace bullying. I'm sure we've all experienced, if not directly, but you've seen how people gang up against others or abuse power. So the Law Society of Singapore taking a strong stand, pledging courtesy, dignity and fairness against workplace bullying. So what will the pledge really change? We put these questions to Justin Chan, head of dispute resolution at Tito Isaac and Company. But first up, good morning. How are you, Justin?
Morning, Michelle. Pretty good, except having a chronic case of wanderlust at the moment.
Oh, my goodness. I empathize completely. Have you booked any of those floating cruises to nowhere?
No, not at all. It seems too much of a risk at the moment.
I am also with you there.
But if I can suggest Google Earth, especially the street view function, is quite a panacea.
Oh, that so is a walk. Great way to
walk around your favorite piazza or like your favorite trail in like the Rockies, whatever.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that soon. Excited about that. All right. I've seen these SMSs whizzing around, people sending the actual law about the upcoming phase three changes. You know, we don't know when it's going to happen. We know sometime in 2020. But from your reading of, you know, the legislation, what can we expect?
Ah, okay. I mean, a couple of things. I think increase in group size. I mean, social visits from one household to another. Likely to be increased to 8 persons. So, I mean, that's a good thing because with 5 persons, somebody gets left out. It's an odd number. So with 8 persons, that's 4 couples. So I think that works. Increasing capacity limits for museums, critically weddings. I mean, weddings now you have 2 zones of 50 persons, right? That's the cap, which is 100 people. So there's talk that there could be an increase in the zones, so multiples of 50. So instead of 100, it could be 150, it could be 200, we're not sure. Unfortunately, for higher risk settings like bars, pubs, karaoke lounges and nightclubs, these remain closed as they are designated high transmission risk areas.
I see.
And last but not least, it's the reopening of our borders, which is what everybody is looking forward to, I guess, at this point in time. Mm. We are, of course, we know in the background there are these green lanes that are going to be formed. So outside of these designated green lanes, unrestricted travel is something that we are working towards. I think the main question is when this will happen.
Yes.
The current guidance seems to be that end of the year, but I'm not sure. We've got to keep an eye on that one.
All right.
But
looking forward to end of the year and also looking forward to this being rolled out typically in some sort of staggered fashion.
Yes, usually that's how it would work. I think to keep an eye on it, what usually happens for us anyways, our ministers do speak to the press and make certain announcements, and then after that, there will be some changes to the legislation. So that is a good roadmap. So if you see those two things happening, then very very soon you will have the changes implemented. For your viewers to keep just abreast of the situation, I think there are two websites that are very very critical. Mm. One is the gov.sg website, and the other is the Ministry of Law website. I mean, most of the updates end up on these two websites, yes. And they're fairly detailed.
Yes, and then always tune in to Your Money at 9:15 when we speak to our legal eagle who helps us understand the laws. And we turn to you so often, Justin, for the COVID-19 Temporary Measures Act. So I understand there's going to be an extension of some temporary relief. Tell us more.
Yeah. Well, again, the key word is temporary relief. At the start of phase one, there were certain categories of contracts that were sue-proof, so to speak. But now these contracts have been extended, but they've not been extended by the same date. So for the first batch is extended to 19 November 2020, and these include the following contracts: loans to SMEs secured by collateral in Singapore, leases and licenses of non-residential property, hire purchase and conditional sales agreement for commercial vehicles or plant machinery used for commercial vehicles, rental agreements for commercial equipment or commercial vehicles. So there are four here. These four contracts, the protection has been extended to 19 November 2020. Then there's extension to 31st December 2020. And those are two contracts, event and tourism-related contracts, options to purchase and sale and purchase agreements with developers. And the last one, extension to 31st March 2020, construction contracts or supply contracts or any performance bond granted there too. So, yeah, in a nutshell, those are the three categories of contracts that have been extended.
Okay. Can you explain to us a little bit about who is most going to benefit from the extension of these relief measures, temporary relief measures?
I think these will benefit the every man on the street. These temporary relief measures, I don't think are for any extremes of the social strata in Singapore. For example, you've heard that Singapore has gained 3 billionaires in the midst of COVID-19, so they probably wouldn't need any relief. Mm-hmm. I think the logic could be tested in this way. I mean, in terms of commercial property and non-residential property and lease and license protection, I mean, the upper strata tends to own commercial property rather than rent it. So these measures are really catered to protect the livelihoods of persons most affected by COVID-19. And I think it's targeted at a majority of Singaporeans.
Okay, what has changed in terms of relief in the property scene when it comes to developers or consumers in the property scene?
Well, like I've touched on before, there's an extension of time for enforcement of any option to purchase and sale and purchase agreement with developers, and that's extended to the 31st of December 2020. So you cannot sue on any late completion, so to speak, of sale and purchase agreements and OTPs.
Okay, so I understand buyers can also serve notification of reliefs on developers. What is this and how does it serve buyers?
Right. They can serve all these developers. What will happen is that when the relief is served, there will not be legal action that can be taken after that. So essentially, it's the same sort of protection that's afforded to the rest of the contracts that were protected under the temporary relief measures.
Okay. I wonder if we can talk a little about the 5% per annum cap of simple interest on late payments, because a lot of our listeners may be property buyers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that 5% cap is pretty important because it's applicable to the following contracts: hire purchase agreements, conditional sale agreements, rental agreements for commercial equipment, sale and purchase agreements with developers, and construction contracts or supply contracts. Now, this 5% is, again, this is a situation where you cannot be sued on these contracts. And then the repayment, you can only charge up to 5%. And that is significant because interest rates can be contractually agreed. It doesn't need to be 5%. I mean, interest rates could go as high as 7, 8, you know, as long as parties agree. So having kept this interest rate, I think this is intended to help businesses affected by the COVID-19 to manage their debt load and to hopefully facilitate a speedier recovery.
All right. Let's turn. We've only got about a couple of minutes left, but I do want to talk about this anti-bullying and harassment pledge. Saw it in the news, I thought this is just terrific that the Law Society taking such a stand. So 21 law firms, and they represent some of the biggest employers in the legal profession. They've joined the Law Society. They've all pledged to ensure that law firm staff and colleagues are treated with courtesy, respect, dignity, and fairness. So I am talking about the pledge on preventing bullying and harassment in Singapore's legal profession. You signed it recently. Tell us, you know, why did you sign it? Was there really such a need? People are wondering, how bad was the work culture in the legal sphere prior to this?
As by way of background, I mean, the legal fraternity is made out of high functioning individuals against the backdrop of highly stressful occupation. So I think some discount must be given for people that may act outside of the normal boundaries of courtesy, because it's just such a pressure cooker.
That's no excuse ever. In my book.
I apologize to any of my juniors, which I have taken my words the wrong way. Don't think there are that many. But I think, well, we looked at it. We looked at this very noble initiative by the Law Society, and we as a law firm thought, well, it's needful, it's meaningful, and very much in line with our own values as a family-orientated firm.
Right.
I mean, everyone on the firm is on a first-name basis. I mean, some even have nicknames.
Dare I ask what yours is? Can you say it on air?
Mine is, sure. It's mine's Achan.
Achan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Achan. Like, they drag it out, like, Achan.
Oh, it's all in the attitude.
Yeah.
So what do you think this pledge is really going to mean for the legal workplace?
Yeah. I mean, right now, it's just the first step. I mean, it is an important first step, but we need to implement these ideals. So what we need to do is, it's a HR question as well as a leadership question.
Absolutely.
So first thing would be to implement and inform staff of a policy. We need to come up with a policy. We could adopt the Law Society's very thorough policy guide or come up with our own, because, you know, one shoe doesn't fit all. What works for one firm might not work for another. I think we need to provide training for staff on the relevant policies and procedures so they know, you know, that there are these rules of conduct. And if things go wrong, who to report that bad conduct to. And on the leadership front, I think it's good to ensure that senior management and executive leaderships of the law firms also receive adequate coaching and training to cultivate the culture that they want. Right, it could be we are family-run culture, you know, or we are a meritocracy, we are fair. So all these things are something that should be implemented as we trundle through the months. I think the lock stop date is a year from the time that we signed the pledge. So we are you know, putting in the hard work here. So hopefully we'll. You'll see a change in that culture soon enough.
Justice on the work front, very important. And who else but the Law Society and legal firms do we expect to take the lead on this? So well done. And thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing with us. Justin, I'll let you trundle along. You've got a lot of work to do.
Absolute pleasure. Anytime, Michelle.
Great speaking with you. Justin Chan is Head of Dispute Resolution at Tito Isaac and Company.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.